IRS notices can be intimidating, but waiting to act could cost you your valuable taxpayer rights. Don't try to handle the IRS alone. These agents are trained to track you into agreements designed to collect as much money as possible. Don't pay thousands of dollars to a marketing company claiming to be a tax resolution firm. Get behind the shield. The enrolled agents at Elite A Tax and Financial Services are experts at tax resolution, protecting taxpayers' rights, and are federally licensed to represent taxpayers before the IRS. Elite A Tax and Financial Services has the knowledge, skill, and experience to assist you with audit representation, liens, levies, offers and compromise, innocent spouse relief, wage garnishment, back taxes, and more. Don't lose sleep, time, or your rights as a taxpayer. Make your appointment today at elite8financial.com to schedule a consultation and get the IRS off your back. Get behind the shield.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you for joining us on our new episode of Entrepreneurship Happens. We apologize for missing last week. As we say, entrepreneurship happens and life happens. Well, on today's episode, we talk with Natalie Bullion. She talks about payments, profits, and purpose. Hope you enjoy. This segment of Entrepreneurship Happens is brought to you by Maylee Designs. Maylee Designs is a Better Business Bureau accredited company with over 17 years of business under its belt and 30 years of experience. With 5-star reviews, professional service, great customer service, and top-notch designs, you can get all your branding needs done for your small business. Go to MaeleeDesigns.com. That's www.MaeleeDesigns.com for your free consultation. All right. Well, thank you for joining us today. Do us a favor and tell our listeners who you are and what do you do?
Hey, I'm Natalie Bullen. I own Unapologetic Wealth, a coaching and consulting firm that helps people of color, especially women, charge their worth and move their prices in alignment with their power so that they can master their sales genius and step into wealth. Too often, we're undercapitalized. We're funding our own businesses out of our own pockets. And that is why we are 8 times more likely to go out of business than our white peers. And my business serves to change that statistic.
That's true. That's true. That's true. We are.
So, why did you become an entrepreneur?
I guess the short answer to that is that I wasn't happy in corporate. I didn't feel like I was moving forward with the goals that I had for my life. I was in banking for almost 7 years. I worked for a really large firm that has done some really shady things, and I didn't feel good. I didn't feel proud about my job. I had a great skill set. I was a great public speaker. I was doing financial literacy. So I was already known in the community. I already had authority, but I couldn't move us forward in the constraint of the system where I was working. So I decided to step out on faith, I guess that's what people would say. And, I had a great savings cushion and I had a business plan and I had some clients already. And I said, I could do this myself. People trust me more than they trust the institution that I'm attached to. So let me stop creating this barrier and hopefully move everything forward. And it worked out, I would say. I've been full-time entrepreneur. I quit in January, so 8 months now.
Okay. Well, congrats on that. And the funny thing is, you're right, especially with the banking institutions. I mean, Wells Fargo gets in trouble all the time for
all
doing
time.
Shady business practices. So that's good. But it's funny, and I give you props. You did it the right way. You had a cushion of savings. You had a business plan. You did it the right way. Unlike me, I just leech.
You know what? And that works for some people. I know me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't trust that I knew exactly what I was doing yet. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I know there's a learning curve here. And in entrepreneur land, learning curves cost money.
Yes.
So I was like, I'm going to make mistakes and they're going to cost money. And I need a buffer for my ignorance in this particular case. You get the wrong job, you're not going to lose money. You might be unhappy, but you're not going to lose anything. You start your own business, you can lose $10,000, $20,000,
$30,000. So let me just be
a little cautious around here. But whether I had a whole lot of money or not, you're right, I probably would have. Because I had excellent credit. So I said, okay, I'm going to stack the deck in a couple places for me. And I haven't always had good credit. So that was, even that was a proud moment for me to be able to say, well, push come to shove. Right. I got $100,000 of available credit that I could tap into to grow this business. That was powerful too. And again, I think that's something we don't always work on. And so, you know, we can't even use leverage the way that we need to start businesses. It's all cash. And I was thankful to have had both, but you're right. I've had clients who had neither.
Right. And like you said, it's better to be prepared, but for some people, and I'm one of those people where it's like when the time is right, if the time is right, if the money's right, and it's never right and I would never do it. So I had to take the leap. I had to, you know, I have more bumps and bruises than others, but that's just me. I had to do it. You know what I'm saying? But I love having different entrepreneurs on that can talk from, you know, doing it the different ways and you say you still had a learning curve, you know what I'm saying? You still had to go through that. So I love that. Well, what do you love most about being an entrepreneur?
I think I love being able to make a direct impact on someone's life and being able to follow through with it. So when I worked at the bank, I could work with you months, years on your credit, but I never really knew how it turned out. Did you ever get the house? Did you ever buy that car? Did you ever set up that 529 plan for the kids? I'd have people, I'd spend hours with them and I'd comb through their budget and I'd help them with their credit. What happened to those people? I don't know. It's thousands of them, right? They go to different branches, they move to different banks, they go to different states, and you lose the trajectory. The good thing about having a coaching client, I know exactly what happened to them, right? I know what happened to them for the 6 months we were together. I know what's happened to them since. I have a direct connection. And that way, when they start making this big money, having this success, you know, I have clients who on paper are more successful than me now. I love being able to watch that and go, you know what? I contributed directly to the success of this business. It wasn't me and 20 other bankers and 30 other branches. Right. No, them and me and God and their team. And I feel really, really good about that. Other than that, not having to be somewhere at 8 a.m. Yeah, that's good.
8 a.m.
I hated that. I opened the vault at 8 a.m. That sucked. And I think that's being tough. Responsible for other people's stupidity. Because again, when you work in customer service, you work in sales, typically you get incentivized as a group. So either everybody makes bonus or nobody makes bonus.
Right.
Everybody passed the survey or nobody passed the survey. It was a pass-fail system that created animosity. Because if you got a weak link, you got to decide, do I dislike this person enough to forfeit my quarterly bonus? Right. You know, that's a mess. So it's either I can work more to overcompensate for them being trifling.
Right.
Or I cannot work more and let them steal $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 from me. It wouldn't be in a role where I was dependent on somebody else to do right. Never again.
Right.
I mean, you know, you could just meet them in the break room during lunch or something. I mean, that was a conversation.
I can't fight.
Oh, for that part. Oh, but okay.
I can't do it. Wow.
Thank you for telling everybody.
I would think people would know what fight have I ever been in. It ain't a secret.
Oh my goodness.
I think everybody who know me. I just play it off like I'm too busy getting the bag, but in real life I will run or call the police on you. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I love it. Wow. I love it.
So what do you find most challenging about being an entrepreneur?
Oh, man. All kinds of stuff. I'm like,
all kinds of stuff.
It is a challenge. I think the challenge is maintaining your mindset, like kind of stealing your brain that ups and downs are going to happen and having to be responsible for the sales, the marketing, the HR, the IT, the tech, the operation. Until you have a team, it's all you. So you got to have a mindset to keep going every day. You got to have a physical stamina to keep going every day. You got to have a skill set in areas you don't have no clue how to do.
Right.
And be generating enough money to start trying to hire that kind of stuff out. So for me, it's definitely the balance. I don't know how people with kids do it, to be honest. I'm a newlywed, and that's been challenging enough, having to like still be a good partner in the midst of all of this. Mm-hmm. I couldn't imagine trying to be a good parent as well. I'd have to sit something down. But I think that's it. I think it's telling your brain, hey, brain, today we got to do X, Y, Z, even though you don't want to do anything. Because right. A lot of us are still in our employee mindset. And employee, let's be real, you didn't have to do a good job. Most people's job, they did not actually have to do a good job. They could call out for a week and still get paid. They had a team, co-worker systems, a website, an IT person. You know, we're spoiled. We forget how many the comforts of corporate. And then you get out on your own and like, damn, I don't have anything. I don't have a website. I don't have a funnel. I don't have an email sequence. Who's supposed to do all of this?
Right.
Yeah. Right, so I think it's doing all the things. And then, you know, for some people that's compounded with the financial stress because they're not making the money to hire some help. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, that hasn't been my struggle so far. Praise God. But I think it's a complex answer. But for now, I'll say wearing all the hats.
Yeah. Yes, I agree with you. I agree with you. And just, you know, like you said, juggling everything in the balance. I don't think somebody has said the other day, and I think it's true, there is no such thing as balance. You'll mm-hmm. never truly find balance in entrepreneurship because it is your business is your baby. You know what I'm saying? But then you also have your family, you have this, you have that. So yeah, I totally get that. So since you've become an entrepreneur, how has it impacted your relationships? You mentioned being a newlywed and it's even a struggle trying to make sure that you're a good partner. What about also family and friends?
Yeah, people who are friends with me know they're not going to get a lot of attention. I try not to attract needy friends. You know, like if you want to like brunch every weekend and talk all the time, we're not going to get along. But that was the case before I started the business. So my people already trained.
Wow. Trained. Oh my God. Okay.
People treat you like you allow them to treat you. We train people.
That's true.
Why is it some kids go to the store and act right and some of them go and throw a tantrum every time you tell them they can't have something? That latter child has not been trained.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Say what you want. Hey, you train somebody in your life, that just might not be the word fine. You condition them.
Okay, you know. let's do condition. Let's do condition.
Okay, you condition them. All right. They condition them. Okay, so I have barely any family. So again, I don't have to make a lot of time. Like my mom and I talk every day. My dad and I talk once a month. I have two brothers. We talk once a quarter. So again, nobody's trying to put a lot of hands on my time, particularly. I think it's better for me or easier because my husband is also an entrepreneur. So he gets it. He's been in business a lot longer than me. He's a photographer. And so I think if I had a standard, you know, he went to work all day and I did this all day, we might have more friction. But considering he's doing something similar, yeah, he's not tripping. If I'm at the computer, he's at the computer. So,
because he's conditioned.
All people are. You think I'm not conditioned to him? I'm telling you, we train people how to treat us. They're like me. I don't let people just pull up at my house. I don't care how close you are. I don't care if you're the Chick-fil-A down the street. text me from the Chick-fil-A down the street. Hey, I'm at the Chick-fil-A down the street. Do you mind if I stop by? I've trained people that you don't just pull up at my house. I'm certain there's something you have trained people. Either they don't ask you for money or they know you ain't going out to the club at night. It's something about you and the way you interact that has trained people. You just right. tell you go ahead and say about it tonight. Right.
Let me not bring her. Let me not bring them this mess. I understand it.
Exactly. It's something about you that just folks know Castor ain't the one.
And you know what's funny though? You mentioned it benefits you that your husband is also an entrepreneur. At one point in time, someone had mentioned how they actually liked having their spouse not be an entrepreneur because with being an entrepreneur, there's not that steady guaranteed income. So having one partner be a 9-to-5, but I'm of the same mindset as you. It feels better to have somebody that understands the lifestyle of, you know, working 24 hours a day or just, you know, when you're in that grind and everything. Yeah. So I'm on the same level as you. I think it's better that when you're with somebody that totally gets the lifestyle.
Yeah. But you know, it depends, right? I wouldn't mind if Dave went and got a job because he's been an entrepreneur 8 years. He would still get it. Even if one of us went back to corporate, because he's got the mindset for it. Right, but for me, I like that we share office. I like that I'm home with my husband all day. I like that he cooks me breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That I just prefer that. So I would be unhappy if he's gone, because then I see he trained me. Now I'm gonna have to go actually get my own food. See that?
Oh my God! Oh God forbid.
I don't know what I would do with that, that sounds painful. I don't like that, that's so wild. But I think it depends on what kind of business you're running too. I'm on payroll, so I actually do have a steady paycheck. I pay myself every month on the first, just like a school teacher, because my mom was a school teacher and my grandfather was a school teacher and my great-grandmother was a school teacher. So I'm used to a family to get paid once a month. I put myself on payroll. I get paid once a month. And I ain't missed the check yet. I've been paying myself since month 3 in my business. And I pay myself more than I got paid at the bank. So
I love it.
I mean, obviously, sales have to come in. And I'm blessed. Don't get me wrong. I know a lot of people, this is not their testimony. But for me, I feel more secure in my business because I'm directly responsible for driving the business.
Yeah.
It's up to me. Again, it ain't up to the raggedy reputation of the bank.
Right.
Or how much outreach people are doing. I'm doing dials to drum up business. Right. Are my colleagues doing dials to drum up business? Or is
right.
it me? So I kind of feel more in control. Like, okay, let me look at my business bank account. That cushion not looking like I want. Let me go on the internet. Let me get on podcasts like this one. Let me put my expertise out there so I can attract some business. And then when I close, I'm like, okay, that was my hard work that closed this client. So I feel more in control of my income potential than I ever felt at the bank. Yeah, it was safe, but it was fixed. It's basically like being on a fixed income, because unless you can get a promotion, if any little raise you get, I think they gave us like a quarter. Any little raise you get, you can't even tell the difference. Like your check doesn't change. But if I have a great quarter, I can give myself a $10,000 bonus. I ain't never had no job like that.
Right. And then you know what? And then the funny thing is that whole safe mentality. If the pandemic showed us anything, nobody is safe.
True. They was laying off daycare workers. Anybody would have told you that if you worked at a daycare or a hospital or whatever, that your job was safe. And no, it was not. There were people getting laid off that ain't never been laid off before. I'm talking food service, healthcare, the safe fields getting laid off. Plumbers, everybody. I said, wow, this is...
They laid off the plumbers?
Because they couldn't go in people's houses. They couldn't go in. Most of your plumbing problems are going to be in your house. If you shut everything down where you can't send nobody to people's house, then this whole companies went out of business in safe industries and still haven't recovered. So it's not what you think. People have this bias. They think the way things have been is the way they'll always be. So you work a job 5-10 years, you think I'm always had an opportunity to work this job. You're not thinking that somewhere in Seattle at the corporate headquarters, somebody's looking at a spreadsheet of underperforming stores and your store is on the list. You don't even know. And I've worked for a company that just one day you walked in and they were like, hey, we have news. We're closing this location.
Right.
We're giving severance, $500 for every year you worked here. And your last day is the 13th. And if you don't work through the 13th, you don't get your severance. Does anybody have any questions?
Wow.
That's happened to me twice in my life. Thank God it's happened at my part-time jobs, not my full-time job. But it can happen anywhere. My location has closed 7 or 8 of the 12 Wells Fargo branches. I think we're down to like 5 in my city.
Wow.
So all those people got displaced, right? You can't put 13 mm-hmm. branches worth of staff in 5 branches. You got to get rid of those people. So even at the safe job, there are people still being let go. And the ones that aren't being let go are overworked. I'll pass. It's not, like you said, it's not as safe as people think.
They make it seem, yeah.
Right.
So what's one thing now that you know, you wish you knew when you started the entrepreneur game?
I think that my voice was powerful. When I first started my business, I had too many coaches. I had too many outside voices in my head. I had biz besties, I had my husband, I had people who had been in business a lot longer than me. And I was very insecure in my business savvy. I was very secure in what I did, right? I've been in corporate sales, I've been in finance. I'm great at the product I sell. But I was not confident at all in my ability to actually be able to run a business. And I let too many other outside voices start. Maybe you should do this. And I had a lot of social media strategists. I had a funnel expert. I had so many voices. On top of all the money I was paying out, I got lost somewhere in it. And I wish I would have known from the beginning, you know what? My voice was enough. My gut instinct was enough and to ease into getting outside advice and support from too many areas. Cause you can't make a decision if you got 3 coaches and all 3 of them telling you to do something different.
Right.
And none of them are the thing you want to do. So you feel outnumbered in your own business. It's like, so you want me to have a launch to a high ticket group coaching program. But you want me to launch an evergreen low ticket course, and then you think I should do a live event in Atlanta. Okay, well, I was just thinking about coaching people one-on-one, but I guess I got vetoed. What's this that make in your own business? So I wish I had known from the jump that my voice was enough.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So so far, I know it's been 8 months, but what's the worst thing that's happened to you so far as being an entrepreneur? That you kind of had to step back and restructure or refigure out?
Oh, yeah. I've had a couple of those. I would say nightmare clients has probably been, I've had some nightmares. I've had some folks that just, wow. I'll say this, if you're listening, know that your policy and procedures have to be maintained. They have to be withheld. Don't let people come around your processes. Don't let people book calls outside of your funnel, whatever your application, whatever that is. Right. If people decide they don't pay you, if they miss a payment, kick them out your programs. Do not try to work with them. Talk to your attorney, do whatever you need to do, send the collections, a small claims court, or kick them out of your program, whatever. But for me, the only times I've gone astray is when I went outside of what my policy was, whatever that looked like. So if our calls were supposed to be an hour and I let them be an hour and a half, or, you know, everybody who books a sales call has to come through this link, but I'm like, oh, it's cool. You know, I'm just seeing my Zoom and we'll just meet at this time. Anytime I've gone outside the safety, the parameters that I set, it was a bad
yes, so, you preach it to the choir.
That's how I feel like that's bad. I did start a second business for a little while that was, let me not say unsuccessful, I didn't have a strong enough foundation in business one to branch out into business two. Mm-hmm. I decided I wanted to go back to my bank roots and do financial advice, like actually be people's broker and do their stocks and their financial planning. But trying to run two, especially mm-hmm. when one was a regulated business and one is an unregulated business like coaching, I just couldn't mm-hmm. make the time. And when I dissolved that second business, it cost me almost $20,000.
Oh, wow. Crazy.
Yeah, because it's regulated. So you got licenses and fees and early termination. And like it's involved. There's a reason why people don't go into selling life insurance lightly. Like I was my own broker. So like if you sell life insurance or investments through like Charles Schwab, well, of mm-hmm. course, it's not really going to cost you any money because you're an employee of Charles Schwab. But if you want to be Charles Schwab, if you want to set up your own investment firm, that costs thousands of dollars. So right. I spent a lot of money to get it going and then a lot of money to dissolve it. And that was painful because it's something I really wanted to do. But I was like, I'm probably going to sink both of my businesses trying to do this mm-hmm. at the same time. If I ever did it again, I'd probably just take on a partner. Right. And say, hey, you do the actual planning, the meeting with the clients. mm-hmm. And I'll be like the manager and I'll put the money into it.
Okay.
But you actually go do the work. Like you meet with the clients.
Right.
Sarah, you know, it's built, but the nightmare client, telling you, that's the worst thing. That's why I got out of financing. So if you hire me and you know, people say I'm expensive, you know, whatever. You hire me, you got two choices. You can pay me in full or you can sign up for my credit-based funding. That's it. But you can't make 10 payments of $1,000 to me. I don't care if I'm keeping you for a year or not. I don't. Because what happens when you don't make a payment? Now you have interrupted the relationship we have. Now I got to turn into BankNet. And BankNet's not nice. BankNet want to get paid. She not playing with you.
Oh, my goodness. BankNet. Okay.
She not.
I love it.
She not. She by her business. Look, my coworkers used to know, like, Natalie woke up to my office, something happened, something not good, like, because I ain't small talk. I walk up to you, hey, where's the signature missing? Hey, why the vault not open? Hey, what time did you get here this morning? Like, I need to know some things. And so people, I trained. Trained to put the print.
Well, you know what? This training thing,
it's very real. And see, the more examples I give, the more you're like, you're right, Nat. I've been training people too.
Okay. I love it.
That's what you're thinking. Agree. I know what you're thinking.
I'm just going to agree so I don't have to deal with BankNet. Okay, so I'm good.
BankNet by her business. Look, I'm so nice to people until they sign a contract and act a fool. I'm so nice to people, but I feel like, and this is my own personal thing, I have never not made good on a contract. Even stuff I did not want or need. If I booked a one-time consultation with you and your policy is that it can only be rescheduled one time or you forfeit the money. And the day of, I just don't feel like talking to you. I'm tired and I cancel it. Keep the money. I didn't meet your parameter. Right. That's how I operate. And I'm willing to take that L. But it's interesting to me how many people are really entitled. They think they're going to always be able to have access to you and access to your time and access to your expertise and that they can just reschedule and cancel and not pay you and everything going to be cool. It's not going to be cool. It's going to get ugly. Right. And so I've just put systems in place now to keep those kinds of things from happening. But a lot of times when people are new, they don't know any better and you want to help people out. You want to work with them, but in my experience, the people who need you to work with them, they got a long trail of unpaid bills and coaches they didn't pay and websites that's half done. And the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. Mm-hmm. I don't trust it. As soon as you show me you trifling in this area, it's probably 2-3 more areas that I could find out that you slipping in too. And, you know, I want to take great care of my clients. I can't do that if I'm angry at you because you didn't pay me, or I'm angry because you always show up 30 minutes late to Zoom or you act crazy on appointment day. Oh, was that today? Don't do that when I'm paying Acuity to send you reminders and I'm sending emails and I'm sending text messages. Don't act like you didn't know we didn't have a call today. So I think it's better to just avoid that type of person, but it takes practice to learn what kind of person does this kind of thing. And you know, take time for you to get your confidence to where you could price yourself out of a headache, because a $2,500 client will do things a $25,000 client wouldn't dream of.
Right. Right. That's true. You're right. You're right about that. Yeah. It's just that a mouthful, isn't she? I love it. I love it. You know, one thing that I wanted to mention that I wanted to applaud you for, you said that you've been paying yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing, and that is your platform, is financial literacy and everything. Yeah. And one thing that a lot of new entrepreneurs, and even I was guilty of, we spend so long not paying ourselves.
Yeah.
And that is a mistake. We do need to start paying ourselves from the beginning. Even if we, my book club we just read last month was Profit First. Even if you don't do the profit first method, you need to figure out how to give yourself a business owner's draw to pay yourself. Because for one, it takes a lot of mental draining to constantly put money into a business and not reap the benefits as a business owner. So you got to, at some point in time, you got to stop flipping over your money and keep putting it in the business and actually pay yourself, because you are an employee of the business. And then also from the, you know, tax side of it, I'm not no tax guru, but that is a part of the tax benefit.
It is.
I know, especially when with the PPPs, that was part of a requirement.
That you had to have employees. And well, so many of us missed out on PPP money. It was so sad.
And that's the thing, is people didn't even realize that they qualified, because even if you didn't have other employees, you were an employee of your business. Uh-huh. So you qualify. I sure enough did get my money as a solopreneur.
Good
but you. Also, part of the requirement was that I had to pay myself out of the money that they gave me. Uh-huh. I had to do payroll deposits to myself as an employee. That was part of the requirement from the SBA. And so people don't realize that that's something that you need to do. That's something that you need to get used to doing, no matter how you do it. If you use QuickBooks or whatever, or actually, you know, go to ADP or whoever, that's something that you have to do. So I applaud you for starting that from the beginning, because it takes us years. I mean, I honestly don't think I started really paying myself until maybe 5 years ago, you know, and I've been an entrepreneur for 17 years, you know what
I'm saying? So. But you know what? I think, and it's so interesting when I hear this kind of story, and it's a common story. I didn't really have a good option to not pay myself. I know that sounds weird, but like, I'm the breadwinner. I knew going into this that I made more than my husband. Not because my husband's not talented. He's definitely more gifted than I am, to be honest. But I knew that I couldn't work my business and work at the bank. I knew that I was going to have to quit. So I was like, what can I do with my little corporate salary now while I have it to invest? Can I go ahead and pay for a website? Can I go ahead and hire a coach? My first coach was $10,000. Let me go ahead and pay that while I'm working, right? Let me go ahead and put some money aside, because I know this cobra is going to smack me upside the head. So that way, when I made my move, it wasn't, oh, it's going to be years before I could pay myself. No, when I quit, my business was making $18,000 a month.
Love it.
So yeah, I could pay myself $5,000 of it, right? Like it was a no-brainer to be able to pay myself something. I think, you know, a lot of times we feel guilty, like, oh, I shouldn't be taking money out of the business. But I'm like,
right.
You have to, though, in order for you to grow. I don't want a business that's $1 million business, but I'm broke.
Right.
It's $1 million business, but I still got a mortgage. It's $1 million business, but I got a car note and I don't have any retirement. And, you know, not to get too deep down the financial part, but people don't recognize when they're self-employed that less of their money is getting put into Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you're an S corp. Social Security is not getting the kind of numbers like when you worked in corporate.
Right.
And your Social Security payment is based on your 40 highest quarter. So if you spent 20, 30 years as an entrepreneur, you're not going to have a payment when you turn 67 or whatever the full retirement age is now. You're not going to get it. And if you haven't been putting money in your IRA, you're not going to be able to retire. And like, that's the real thing that's creeping up on entrepreneurs, forget not paying themselves. They're never going to be able to stop working this thing. They're going to be 80 still trying to coach people because they have nothing set up to grow wealth. And I'll be damned if I take a step down from corporate where I was getting a 401k match, had subsidized life insurance, had subsidized health insurance. I told myself from the beginning, I'm going to keep my therapist. I'm going to keep my insurance. I'm going to keep my doctor. I'm going to keep my estate plan attorney. If I got to make a quality of living step down, then this just ain't for me. This just not going to work because I know myself. And in order for me to keep my morale, I got to have my money where I need it to be. I couldn't imagine how hard this would be and I wouldn't get paid. That alone would probably make me go, you know what? Maybe there's not demand for this. I think there's also a belief that it's normal for the first few years to not make money. And we you know, even the IRS perpetuates that, right? You'll meet accountants that say, oh, it's normal. You know, the IRS doesn't expect you to make a profit.
They do say that. I made a profit
my very first year. You know why? Because I didn't know that you wasn't supposed to. Right? So I didn't have a belief that it was weird to make money the first year.
So
I made money the first year. If I'd had this belief that it was normal for everybody to lose money, then I probably would have lost money because I would have acted in alignment with that belief. I would have overspent. I would have not worked as hard. I would have not pulled in as many clients because I would have told myself, oh, I don't have to go hard at this. No, nobody makes money the first year.
We
act in accordance with our beliefs more than we recognize. And I think that's powerful too.
I love it. What you got, Cassie?
What's the best thing that's ever happened to you being an entrepreneur?
Best thing that's ever happened to me. Best thing. You know, when I started my third month in business, I had an $18,000 month, which doesn't make any sense. It's only the favor of God. There's no human reason that that could have occurred. Because I didn't know what I was doing and I wasn't charging high ticket yet. And I wasn't running ads. It just is the grace of God. But I had a dream and God told me, you know what? I did this for you so you could do this for 10 more women. For them to have five figure months because they've never had them in their business. So I gave you this five figure month for you to multiply it. And I was able to do that maybe 6 or 7 months. I was able to attract 10 women into my program who had never crossed even $5,000 into $10,000 a month. Six of them have maintained that and are on salary, like payroll now. So I would say that's probably the best thing that's ever happened to me is being able to really multiply that blessing out to other people.
I love that. So what motivates you?
That's a good question. I think I'm pretty disciplined as a person. That's what I'm learning, right? Because motivation fall off. Motivation lasts a few days. Make a New Year's resolution. Yeah, you motivated on the first. How you feeling on the 15th, right? I've just told myself, motivation or not, you need to get X amount done. But I think one thing that keeps me moving is knowing that I haven't reached my full potential yet. Whatever that is, I know that there's more for me to do. I'm in the process of writing a book. I'm finishing up a course. You know, I don't travel much. I've never been much of a traveler, but I want to. You know, we're going to the Paris 2024 Olympics.
Oh, wow.
It's a bucket list trip. Everybody ain't going to the Olympics.
Right.
So
right.
I know that there's a lot more for me to do, and I can't do it if I run out of money. I can't do it if I burn out. I can't do it if I neglect my personal health. I can't do it if I split from my husband because of stress. I can't. So I have to keep things in alignment so that I can fulfill whatever it is God called me here to do. And I'm just motivated because I know this isn't the end. It can't be. Like this isn't the pinnacle for me. I look at my bank account. I'm like, nah, this ain't not yet. Not yet. It's getting there. It's moving there, you know, but I think that, and I think having great, you know, mentors. I have a coach who's a Black woman whose business is on track to make between $5 and $6 million this year. Her business has been making $1 million since 2014. I wasn't exposed to people like that growing up. I didn't know anybody when I was young that was Black that had a business that was making that kind of money. When I was a child, people who were in business were actually running MLMs. No shade to MLMs. Before everybody come out the woodworks, I have sold Primerica, Avon, Mary Kay, Tupperware. I sold MLM. I'm just saying that is not the same as running your own business that you started. Right. You're basically just a contractor for those companies. It is not the same. And so I had never been exposed to somebody with this much money. Right. When I heard my coach on Clubhouse one time, she was just like, before I hired her, she's like, I have more money than I can spend, invest, lose, or give away. Uh-huh. What? You don't even hear white people say that. I said, what?
Right.
And that was like, but that was powerful because all I could think to myself was, wow, she really set herself up for generational wealth. She's got wealth she can't outlive. And that's what I want. So that's what keeps me moving forward is knowing I'm next. Right. I'm gonna do in an ethical way. I'm gonna be an honest person, a Christian person, a Black person, a married person, a happy person, and I'm still gonna be wealthy because we make up in our mind that rich people are bad, the evil people are bad. We talk about Elon Musk and oh, he's weird and he's hateful and he's this and he's that. And I'm like, you don't know Elon Musk, right? You don't know nothing about that man to make these judgments. All you know is what you see on television. You don't know what kind of father he is. You don't know how he actually treats his employees because you ain't, we can't even touch that kind of wealth. We can't even get close to it. The closest we get is millionaires. And a lot of those millionaires were made in the stock market where we don't participate by and large, or they were made from inheritances, which Black people are four times less likely to ever receive an inheritance. So it's hard to be well-versed in something that you can't even get up close to. Right. That's what I want. I want people to be able to see. No, a little girl from Mobile, Alabama, that I went to high school with, wasn't nothing remarkable about this woman's journey at all. Her mom was a school teacher. Her dad was a Vietnam War vet. And now all of a sudden she has all this money and she's giving from her overflow and she's still a decent person. And I think that will unlock the chains of poverty on people to be able to see this don't have to be my life. I could choose something else. I can choose something else. And that's where we're really powerful when we decide we want to make a new decision in our lives. We're just one decision away from a whole different lifestyle.
That's true. So what makes an entrepreneur successful to you? And do you consider yourself successful right now?
I think if you're consistent, that's probably the key. Whatever that consistency looks like. I guess by my own measurement, then that would make me successful. Am I as successful as I want? No, because I'm a hyperachiever and I always want more, but I'm blessed for sure. And I think I'm successful in the regard that my business can sustain itself and pay me. And that is a huge thing for any business, let alone a very new business. So yeah, I'll play nice today. Yes, Natalie is successful. I had this argument before, so I was like, I'm going to do right today.
Thank you. Thank you for playing nice.
I done got in fights with people that was like, you're wildly successful. I was like, no, I'm not.
Wait a minute. I thought you don't fight.
Oh, it's a verbal sparring. If you pull out hands, I gotta run or call the police. I told you.
Okay.
I can't even see. If you knock my glasses off my face, then what I'm gonna do?
Oh my goodness. Okay.
I'm so nearsighted. Come on. Y'all. And besides, how I'm gonna be closing clients all scratched up?
Right.
You know what?
That's all brand. That's all brand for me. I'm kind of bougie. That's kind of hood. I ain't been to the hood. I wouldn't make it in the hood. You know what I'm saying? They smell my fear real quick.
Okay.
Love it. Go ahead, Cass and Troy. What you got?
I'm back. What's one final piece of advice that you would give new entrepreneurs?
I would tell them to start as they intend to go on. So if don't start with real low prices and work your way up. I'm gonna coach for free, then I'm gonna coach for $100, then I'm gonna coach for $500. If you want to coach for $12,000, you make it $12,000. You've been in corporate 20 years. You've already done consulting packages. You already got an MBA. You already Lean Six Sigma. You have the experience already, or you wouldn't even be starting this business, right? So just make your price whatever your real price is. Don't try to turn from a Kia to a Bentley. It confuses your audience. Whatever you want to charge, just go charge it. That's my vote. I don't care how good you are. Just go and charge whatever you want to charge. Because it's easier to close a client at a higher price point than a lower price point. And two, if you want to stop wearing all the hats in your business, like we talked about, it takes money. The reason I was able to hire those people and get stuff off my plate from the beginning was because I had surplus cash. Why did I have surplus cash? Because I charged people something that made me uncomfortable. If you're comfortable with your price is probably not high enough. Especially when you consider all of the intangible costs of business. People think, oh, you know, I just got to cover my software and my time. And, you know, what about your health insurance? What about your life insurance? What about money into your solo 401k plan? What about cash reserves for refunds and chargebacks and people who don't pay and processing fees and internet and a home office and lease fees and business insurance and key man insurance? If you're not charging enough to cover all of that, then you either go without or you go out of business. And almost every person of color who goes out of business, study after study after study, we just run out of money. We it's not that we aren't intelligent. It's not that we don't have clients. It's not that we don't know what we're talking about. We run out of money. And that is a shame because we already have overcome so many hurdles to start the business. And then to go out of business prematurely because we were afraid to charge people enough. So charge the worth of your service from the very beginning. That's my advice.
I love that. That's right. Where can people find you on social media or if they wanted to get your coaching services?
I'm on Instagram at Unapologetic Wealth. I'm on Facebook, just under my name, Natalie Bullen. I'm hilarious. My Facebook page is very, very funny. I'm on Clubhouse still, at Natalie Bullen. If you just want to hear me run my mouth, it is very entertaining. Because I have a New Year's resolution I set maybe 7 years ago to make three people laugh a day. Y'all got me 2/3 of the way there. So I appreciate you. You know what I'm saying? Caster thinking about what kind of training he going to be doing the rest of the day.
I know, right? He
don't even know what he going to do. And then my website, people can go to www.nataliebullen.com or unapologeticwealth.com.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for sharing your journey, and you actually did drop some gems. I even got a quote. I love it. If you're comfortable with your price, you're not charging enough. That is the quote for the day. I love it.
Think becoming a podcaster for your business or passion? Then do what we did and sign up for Anchor. Anchor is easy to use, user-friendly, and will push your podcast out to other platforms such as Spotify. It's very easy. Come join us on Anchor. Well, we thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. Join us again next week where we'll be talking to Daphne Marie. She'll take us on her journey to being a popular and well sought after stylist. And she'll be talking about personal branding and multiple streams of income as well as her journey. Stay tuned. Are you an entrepreneur or a small business owner? Or is your target audience entrepreneurs or business owners? Then we definitely have a spot for you. Become an advertiser or an actual guest on our podcast. We are stepping forward and we'd love to have you a part of our team. Send an email to info@entrepreneurshiphappens.com. And we'll get right back to you and get you all scheduled and on our list. See you then.